Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Well, everybody, welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I've got Teresa and Rolf here, and I am so looking forward to the way that you guys have tackled this question and the ideas that you've got. That you're going to offer, I think are going to be really valuable for volunteers, no matter where they're at across the world, around the world, no matter what style of ministry that they're doing. And so we're going to get into some practical details. But first, Teresa, why don't you introduce yourself, fill us in where you're coming from, what you do, and how you got to this conversation so everybody knows who you are.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. My name is Teresa, and I work at Rexdale Alliance Church, and I'm a parent of four young people ages 13 to 23.
Ooh, so this is like the most personal of conversations because it matters for your household, eh?
It absolutely does.
I love that so much. Okay, Rexdale. I know where that is, Rexdale Alliance. If somebody is listening from outside the GTA, fill us in where you are located in proximity maybe to the to where the Toronto Blue Jays play downtown.
I was going to say we're a bit east of the airport. Might be a better...
There you go.
You know, just north of the 401 in Toronto, in the Rexdale area, which is part of Etobicoke, north
there
of Etobicoke.
Go. Yeah. It's funny. I lived in Orillia, and I got to know, even at the Orillia stage, oftentimes if you tell people where you're located outside of Toronto, you're just trying to reference to, I'm this far away from Toronto, or I'm this, you know, from the airport, from Pearson. But yeah, you're in the GTA. That's amazing. Rolf, fill us in. You've been a guest on the podcast before, but for anybody new listening, who are you? Where are you from? How'd you get to this conversation?
Yeah, about an hour kind of around the corner, a little bit from Teresa in Hamilton, Ontario. And I work with Power to Change. So working with university students, helping them connect to Jesus, and been working for about 17 years. And yeah, I think, Jeremy, you actually helped kind of introduce Teresa and I via one of the resources that was on your site. And so that's a couple of years ago now already. But yeah, I love just kind of being able to connect with youth workers and in that whole kind of transition piece, like helping students connect to post-secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for those of you that are listening, you know, as a volunteer youth worker, you've got students, you know, maybe in middle school, maybe in high school. And this conversation we think is ultra valuable for you because at some point, your students are going to exit your ministry. They're going to move on to something different, something else. If you're a middle school leader, it might just be into the high school ministry or into a high school small group. But at some point they will graduate and they will, or hopefully they'll graduate, they'll move on to something. And so Rolf and Power to Change have been so helpful thinking about what it means to continue on so that students can continue following Jesus even after their youth group experience. And we'll get into some of the specifics. But then Teresa, at your local church, you guys have found incredible ways to help students as they exit high school. And let's start off by you filling us in a little bit on the ideas that you guys have implemented lately, because I think you've got three phenomenal things I want everybody to hear about.
Okay, so we have started with a scholarship workshop, and that is something that we would invite parents and youth to, and it's for people in the community or the church, so it's very versatile that way. We also have...
Wait, let's start. So okay, scholarship workshop, that's wild. I've not actually heard of this before. So you've hosted as an event, like it's a gathering at the...
Yeah.
At your build, in your building?
A couple hours on a Friday night. We started doing some planning in advance. We realized that in our congregation, we have quite a few teachers and some principals, guidance counselors that are gifted in kind of knowing some of the nuts and bolts of actually producing scholarship. You almost have to graduate from university to be able to do a scholarship application sometimes. So they're not so easy. And so we wanted to make it more accessible to young people so that maybe they can come out of school with as little debt as possible.
And so you've offered this broadly. So people, this is not just for folks that are a part of the youth ministry at your church, but this is actually an inroad into offering something to the community. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. So we shared this information and invitation with our local high schools, as well as posted it in the library that are locally as well, and just tried to spread it with word of mouth as well. Because like I said, if you're, there's always already enough for young people to worry about when they're going to post-secondary, that if there's one less thing for them to have to wrestle with, trying to figure out, you know, how to buy books and food and whatever, then they don't have to worry about that. So just make their road a little bit smoother.
I love that so much. So, you know, even although this is a little bit about helping students as they exit high school, this is a brilliant idea just in thinking about ways to connect with our community. So, you know, you're a volunteer youth worker listening, you've got your small group, you think, oh, this is a good space for them to come and explore faith. But the thing that I've always wrestled with is how do we connect and access more teenagers? Because oftentimes, as great as our groups are, they're only connecting with a small segment of the population of our communities. There's still so many more teenagers that need to hear about Jesus, so many more families that need to hear about Jesus. And the way to be able to connect and to meet some of those people, oftentimes we're like, well, let's just tell them this is the place if you want to explore faith. But so many people don't want to or aren't yet ready to. And here you've found a way to meet a felt need that allows people to come in and be a part of at least seeing a bit of your community. So I love that so much. So unchurched people, church people come, you talk through the scholarship thing. What was the spark for that? Because I think, was it a part of the scholarship that that Rolf has got? Was that a part of realizing, oh, there's some extra places that people could be applying for scholarships or for dollars?
I think we started this because we were already, like, I was basically already sharing this information with other parents about how to apply for scholarships, or even that there are scholarships. Some people actually don't know.
Sure. And you have had to do this, for, I'm guessing, for with your own, even your own kids?
Yeah. So I have a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old, and I've already been through that process. And it isn't so easy. Like, I don't think they could have done it easily without me or without an adult, not necessarily me. I did actually call in some people that I know, like a friend who's a teacher, and, you know, to access that help. So if I need that help, these poor students that are graduating grade 12 – and they're not always easy to find. So I just thought, why are we going, okay, they're turning 18. They can figure it out. They're an adult now. And I feel too often we're going, you know, we're not walking with our young people. And I don't know, with the new studies talking about delayed adolescence, you know, really you can't just go, oh, they're 18, they're adults, they should know better, you know, or they should be able to figure things out. So just a part of trying to walk with our young people, and also like the young people in the community, like who knows if they have people walking with them as well. So we want to include everyone, you know, that we can walk with if possible in our small portions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I was on an airplane recently talking to somebody that was not, you know, faith-based in any way. And we're just kind of going back and forth about the value of community and Christian community. And he was just referencing the fact that a lot of times the church in its best setting is this wonderful community that is able to look out for one another, to help one another and to love one another. And it's like, oh, that's actually probably scriptural. And so for volunteers, you know, you're listening, sometimes maybe the call, as much as it is obviously to introduce your students to Jesus and show what it's like to follow him as somebody that's an adult now, there could be other opportunities where you could offer practical help of just being good community with one another. And I love that so much that you've been able to do. Now, Rolf, nice little segue, because Power to Change, you guys have thought about this need for students as they're walking into the post-secondary world and being able to actually support them with some resources. Just do a quick snippet here and fill people in that there is scholarships that they can access through Power to Change. What's that about?
Yeah, I think the idea has been in kind of in the works for a while. A donor actually approached us with sort of wanting to help out and different things. And now it's branched. And I think another big part of it, we were trying to kind of both wanting to help students, obviously, with this felt need of finances, but also recognizing some of the what we've been learning out of some of the research that came out, the Renegotiating Faith study, saying like just the critical role that mentors play in the transition. And actually that this, what I think a key takeaway for me, which kind of blew me away, is recognizing that if there's someone from their home church that's helping make a connection for a young person, they're actually four times as likely to stay connected into a faith and a Christian group. And so, I mean, sadly, I think we all, maybe in youth ministry, know different stories of kids we've poured into, we loved and served, and then, you know, they exit our youth group at that time, and we don't really know what happens to them in their faith journey, and they don't continue. And so we're just recognizing that, man, but if they can land in a community, how critical that is. That's a big part of the award is, yes, it's offering finances, but it's actually helping a student. There's just a few basic questions in there thinking about, hey, you know, what will change for you? How do you integrate your faith in your life as you go there? And we ask them if they would like to be connected to a Christian community when you come. And then we build those bridges later. Okay, they're going to this school. We have local students and staff workers at that school to actually welcome in that student, that before they even arrive, that they can be kind of grafted into a community.
Yeah, I love that so much. And it's a good reminder that our students are only with us for a certain amount of time. They're going to leave at some point. So, you know, even if you're a grade six guy, small group leader, you know, your students will leave your ministry maybe in 7 years, but maybe just in 2 years. And so even if they're moving, or even if they're, you know, jumping to a different place or whatnot, to think about that transition and how can the investment that you've made into their life be something that actually lives on beyond their time in your ministry, I think is so valuable. And that's a brilliant idea.
And I think having a few relationships that kind of exist outside of that immediate source. So if there's a grade six kid, is there someone else who's like an older adult that will bridge, that will continue that relationship into high school, similar to high school, if they do go to post-second, is there someone that can continue on? And I think we're seeing some examples of that happening. And that's just like a beautiful thing to see, and actually seeing kids stay much more connected with their home churches if that connection exists, versus, you know, finding some other new cool hip church, maybe even if they do stay connected in community, but not really continuing with kind of home church in the end. So I think there's just some huge wins.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, even if it's a matter of, you know, we think about, you know, if you're a grade 12 small group leader, can you continue and build those bridges for your students as they graduate? But honestly, if you're a grade 8 small group leader and you think your students are, you know, they're moving into a different ministry, they're getting a different group leader, what can you do to help build that bridge to that next person, make sure that the student continues on afterwards? Or, you know, if they leave and they move to a new town as a grade 7 student, can you track with that family? And hey, did you find a great new church or youth group? Can I help you discover that? And if you're listening and you're like, I don't even know where to start, like they moved to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, I don't know if there's churches there. Hey, there are churches in Saskatoon. And if you reach out to Rolf or to me, we can build the bridge and introduce you to somebody there. Or, you know, you're in the US and they, you know, they move off to the Midwest, is like, are there churches in the Midwest? Yes, there are. And we can certainly build bridges to show you that. That's for sure. Okay, cool. So Teresa, first idea, what if we offered some practical help for people around scholarships in particular? Rolf, you guys have got a great one. That's incredible. You've hosted this event for the community and folks are coming in. I think that's a brilliant idea. I think somebody listening is like, ooh, let's offer that for our own people. And certainly give us a shout. We got details in the show notes if you'd like some help with that. What's something else that you've done for students as they've exited high school and exited your ministry?
Well, in partnership with that event, but at a different time, we did something called Faith in Transition to Post-Secondary. And this was basically open to everybody. It was focused on post-secondary, but it didn't have to be. But that was where we were building it from. And thanks to Youth Worker Community, we got connected to Rolf and others. So we were able to have a variety of speakers and a panel. And I have to say, even if you don't feel like you, say, can put something that large together, I would say just get a panel of, you know, post-secondary students that are still living out their faith and open that up. Like, it's a lot easier. You don't actually have to, you know, it doesn't have to be super time consuming. For what we did, it ended up being, it was very exciting. I didn't know what we were getting into. By the way, don't be afraid to try new things. We ended up having representatives from different church, from Power to Change, from InterVarsity, from Humber Embassy. And so there were some speakers and there was a panel. So it was kind of like a little something for everybody. It wasn't, it was only a couple hours on a Friday night. So it wasn't like a whole day event. So it was going to take away from, you know, their part-time job or anything like that. We wanted parents to come because I really do feel personally as a parent that it's really important to walk with your child As they're walking into adulthood, and obviously you're moving from, you know, more parenting to more coaching, but you need to know what their opportunities are, what they're knowing. You need to be able to give them suggestions. And so it was great. Rolf came, somebody, like I said, from these different places, and they spoke, and I think they really met a need. And it would, like I said, something for everybody. So there was apologetics. I know with the panel, they were able to ask questions about anything from post-secondary to dating in post-secondary to managing stress in post-secondary, you know, so they had a lot of opportunity, and it was anonymous. So, which I have to say with,
some of those stories, Teresa, I remember you pulling together some of the recent grads who were in post-secondary. I thought that was huge. Like, I remember that girl talk from University of Ottawa, when her talk, and you could just see kind of parents and others, cause it's like, this person's actually, like, they've actually graduated from our youth group and they're actually coming back. So that was really, I felt like that was a huge win when you got a few of those stories coming back, but sorry, keep going.
Oh yeah, no, it was neat. I felt like it was well received. So we happened to have the opportunity to do as a hybrid as well. So we were online and in person. So it gave us a little bit more reach. So I actually emailed all of my former grade 7 and 8. I am a grade 7 and 8 Sunday school teacher. So I emailed all my former students personally, because I thought, you know what, even if they're at university, they can join online. And a few of them did. So it was very exciting that they're like, you know, Mrs. Kitania, I will be there. And very cute. And I have to say, somebody got something different from each person. Like, somebody really wanted to hear about, like, the apologetics. Somebody really wanted to hear about planning your faith in post-secondary. Somebody wanted to hear about the dating. Like, so it was a little bit of something for everybody.
Well, so this is so cool, because I think there's so much value in showcasing what it's like to follow Jesus in a different stage of life. So even if you do have middle school students, this makes me think about, you know, grade 7 and 8 students that in some levels, it's like, they're not thinking about university at this stage for sure. Like, it's a pretty far off thought. But if they start seeing in middle school and junior high that there are people who graduate high school and then live out their faith in real and practical ways, it'll start to bake into their understanding of what this faith is, that it's actually something that can live beyond, you know, their own family of origin. And so showcasing that, showing that for all students is so, so, so valuable. So you did that through this event. Rolf, you've seen this. I mean, you understand more than most the challenge that is post-secondary. Do you have like students that have been able to come back and celebrate, you know, this is what it looks like to be a university student? Do you guys kind of showcase that as Power to Change?
Yeah, I think when I think of the students that kind of come in, there's kind of two typical, I don't know, there's so many different stories, but a couple kind of ways that students come in. I'm always surprised to hear, like, I remember this one student, surprised to hear kind of a few years later, he's like, yeah, I became a Christian in first year. And I'm surprised to hear that, because I've known this person's backstory, that this person's father was a pastor and he grew up in the church. And so, him kind of going on, so he knew like the value of kind of staying in connected. And I think it was especially helpful for him to find a Christian community that was outside of his church. Mm-hmm. And so we're learning that this idea of differentiation, like coming of yourself and figuring out what is kind of, making a sense of personhood independent of your kind of family of origin. And so for him, that was huge. And so he did get connected, found some other students that he could look up to, because in his church, he was kind of the kid that everyone looked up to. But then when he got in student ministry and seen some other young men, like really serious about their faith, serious about spiritual disciplines, and really taking God's word for where it was and living that out. And he had a chance to go to a few retreats and conferences, and then boom. So he kind of describes the beginning of his faith journey in first year. There's other situations where I visited a local Christian high school here in Hamilton, and I got to meet one boy, and actually my wife knew of this kid's family from another connection. And so I knew he came from, you know, what others would say is like, you know, a Christian family. But for whatever reason, as I kind of tracked with him the next couple of years, trying to reach out, I'm a local community worker at McMaster University, the local university here. And so tried to connect with him, and yeah, for whatever reason, he hadn't made some of those connections, didn't have any kind of friends, and had, I guess, chosen to keep faith or even kind of church activities separate from not integrating that into his life as a student in post-secondary. And so kind of tracking him for the next few years, it was just so like his faith experience and living out his faith. Like, I think if we long for young adults to live a vibrant and healthy life for Jesus, that wasn't there. And I think it, a big part of that is if you don't land into kind of a positive peer pressure, healthy community when you go to post-secondary in a church or campus group, it really undermines, I think, the trajectory that, you know, any youth pastor or camp or Christian teacher would have longed and hoped for. And I'm just seeing again and again, it's like where you land, those initial few friendships and relationships that you make when you head off to college, university, they really set the trajectory. You know, they say, oh, these 4 years set the trajectory for the next 40. Like I even say sometimes the first couple weeks, the friendships that you land in are really pivotal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I love that. And I'm maybe out on a limb here, but if there are people listening and they're like, ooh, I would love to hear a story or be able to showcase a story to my youth group. We don't have like somebody nearby that I would think of bringing in to share a story. Rolf, can they reach out and maybe get like a recording of a story like that?
Yeah, like actually, Teresa, I've been sharing, we're talking about the stories. I feel like I've watched a bunch of those student stories now because Teresa goes to a bigger church where they had did a great job of kind of recording some of that. And yeah, we have a bunch of stories and would love to help or even introduce you to someone semi-local who could come and help. So yeah, I would love to help. I think the idea is just do something, like whether it's something that Teresa's decided that's larger scale or even something small. Like, kids need our help. They need support to journey. They need introductions. They need to figure out and make faith their own. And I think let's just try stuff and do stuff. There's no like kind of right answer or the perfect way, but I just love it when I see like youth leaders realizing this is important. The transitions that students go through as they go from one community to another community are so critical. So I just applaud you guys for leaning in.
Yeah, so great. Okay, one last one as we're kind of coming into a close here, Teresa. You've got a new, I think, an ideas you've been thinking in this space. So toss us this new fun one that you guys are trying out.
Yeah, so first of all, I do love ideas. Even while we were talking, I just want to add, if you're a grade 6, 7, and 8 youth leader and you're thinking, you know, maybe I could do something, but I'm not quite sure what, you can get the high school students involved. Like even that panel idea, you can do something like that. You know, they're transitioning out of grade 8 into high school. I'm sure it's scary what to expect, you know, so there's lots of creative ideas that you can do. But for us, so nothing to do with my work, nothing to do with my grade 7 and 8 Sunday school. Went out to dinner with some of my Christian sisters, and we decided as a group of us that we have, you know, heard a lot of what's going on about like the importance of mentorship, but, you know, really aren't quite sure how to get that into place because we don't have a huge volunteer base. And I don't know if it needs to be that way anyway. Maybe it can grow organically. So we're going to try something called a dress and accessory exchange for we're aiming towards 17 to 24 year old women. And we're hoping we're going to get some mentorship for 25 to 35 year old women. And then, you know, my friends and I are hoping to see how that happens, how that grows. You know what? We're just trying something else. It's not an Alpha course. It's not a Bible study, which we also try at our churches, you know, something different for maybe that person that, you know, needs to be connected first and needs to find a safe place first before they're even, you know, maybe wanting to hear the word of God. So that's our next initiative happening on April 1st. So it's only being fleshed out now. So I actually don't even really have too many details, but, and I'm not spearheading that, by the way. I'm just a part of the sisters that are
absolutely
coming up with ideas.
What I love about that is they're just trying to find creative ways to help people learn what it means to follow Jesus. And as a volunteer, you know, if you've got a group, that's great. You're investing in them. That's wonderful. If ever you kind of look up and you're like, oh, I wonder if there's another way to angle this or another way to invite people in or a better way to connect with more folks. There are just enormously creative ways to offer that to, I think, our communities. And I think that's worthwhile, for the church to find, you know, new and great opportunities, to be helpful in our community to help point people towards Jesus ultimately. That's so good. Rolf, yourself, anything that you would want our youth workers to hear, any other stories or initiatives or directives that would be just helpful as we, again, think about students as they're exiting our programs? What are the best ways that we can support them in the midst of all of that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love meeting folks like Teresa, just like always dreaming and thinking and inspiring me. And then some, yeah, it's a few other things that I've just been hearing kind of some other people do. There's another bigger church in the Toronto area that we were chatting with a couple years ago, actually People's Church. And they recognized like, hey, it's cool that you're doing this awards program. Like, what can, like, we as a church, we can have our own awards program. And so I think, Jerry, you even took some of their material, I think, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did you want to? I don't know. That was a really cool idea. I think in a summary, you're maybe more intimately familiar with it. Did you want to quickly summarize that idea quick and then a couple others, or do you want me to?
I can hit it. Yeah. So it's just, it was intentionally sending students. So if you've got a church ministry, a youth group that you're sending your grade 12s off to their next phase of life as missionaries into whatever setting that they're going to. And so even saying that they are missionaries, you can put them on your mission line. If there's resources that you can attach and offer even honorariums to go as missionaries, you can pray for them as missionaries. And just that language change certainly adjusts a ton of even how you view and maybe those students view their own work into whatever they're going to next.
Well, it was cool there because the pastor the year before had actually made that. He had made personal connections even with like a local church in the new city that the students were going to. But until they built the program where they actually had like a monthly call with each of those youth, so I think there ended up being like 10-ish kids that were going to post-secondary, and they had like a monthly call for the year after. And he was saying there's a market difference of those who were in that program. They actually stayed connected even though they went off to school. They were so vested and felt sent by their church that they had they continued to volunteer and care. So anyways, I think on a robust model in a bigger church, you can actually develop your own kind of program that includes kind of not just like doesn't stop at youth group and then can continue on, but also just small things. Like I saw another church and just they made these little flyers with a few kids that were graduating from youth, and they called it like adopt a graduate, and just kind of a few points about the student, and families could pick them up and they could adopt that student and pray for them specifically. Or I've seen sometimes they do like a commissioning or a grad send off. Sometimes that's involved in a Sunday morning or just with the youth. And so they invite some other people to share stories. I think anytime you can get like an older student to share stories to the younger students, it's just, man, even one time, or it's random, but I remember one during the whole COVID thing, there was a girl who was doing landscaping. And so it was hard to find a time and in a formal event. Anyway, she's like eating her sandwich in a car, in a parking lot, halfway through the day. But there's a group of high school kids at a high school, Christian high school. And here she is sharing her story. And they were like, I'd been trying to be smooth and telling all these stories as this external like Christian worker guy. But when that girl that they all knew was sharing her experience at her first year at the University of Guelph, man, it was just like a powerful moment. So I think, anytime inviting alumni back to share stories of wins and losses, like it's just so true and it's so real, and to be a conduit for that. So anyways, I think just try stuff, do stuff. I would love to hear your stories. And if there's any way that I could be supporting you and kind of making connections or introductions. But again, I just think, if we can lean in and help, they say that study that came out said only a quarter of us, including kind of me on the receiving end and youth pastors on the sending, only a quarter actually have a plan to be sending and receiving their students. And so that's like three quarters of us don't have a plan. So I think anything that we do, there's just huge potential for growth and opportunity here. And there's a tremendous battle for the hearts and minds of our young people. And I think helping bridge those connections is just so huge. And I think we have a huge opportunity. So love what I'm seeing, and would love to help if I can in any way.
All right. Well, Teresa, with that in mind, why don't you bring us home and offer us a final word as we come in for a close here?
The one thing that I would want to say to the volunteer youth workers is that you are already doing an amazing job. It's sometimes not a place where you see the fruit of your labor, oftentimes, actually. People like myself or Rolf, who maybe see the kids a bit further on and in post-secondary, we get to see the fruits of your labor. So don't be discouraged. You are working where God has put you, and you are a blessing. And, you know, I do pray that you will have the opportunity to see some of that fruit later on. But regardless of whether you do or don't, I encourage you to keep, you know, working in the kingdom and blessing these young people.